Welcome to Torah Timecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esti Kimchi and today we will be studying Sefer Yehoshua Perek Yutches, Chapter 18. Quick recap of what we learned yesterday. The Benos Alafchad had asked Yehoshua and Elazar HaKohen for their inheritance as been promised to them by Moshe, and it's granted to them. The Perek had listed the Nachala of the tribe of Manasseh with some of the cities of Ephraim, and the Bnei Yosef had complained that they wanted more land because of their large population. The Perek had ended with Yehoshua recommending that they conquer certain parts and build out so that Bnei Yosef would have more land. In our Perek today, we are going to see the Aron moving from Gilgal to Shiloh, and Yehoshua rebuking the remaining seven tribes who had not yet received their land for being lax in pursuing their inheritances. The second half of the Perek will detail the boundaries of the tribe of Binyamin. Pasuk Aleph, Vayikahalu Kolas Bnei Yisrael Shiloh, and the entire congregation now gathers together in Shiloh, Vayashkinu Sham Es Ohal Moed, and they set up over there the Ohal Moed, Vaharet Nechbasha Lifnehem, and the land was subdued before them. They are going to now bring the Mishkan to Shiloh, and it's going to remain there for over 300 years. One of my favorite places to take people on tours in Eretz Yisrael is to ancient Shiloh, or as it's known, Tel Shiloh. To be able to stand and daven, where we're almost 100% certain was the site of the Mishkan, is incredible. To daven at the place that Chana davened for a son, where Shmuel served, and where Karbanos were bought for probably around 369 years, which is according to the Gemara in Zvachim. It's such an amazing and incredible thing. The first of the researchers, sort of in modern times, to identify the site is a man called Ishtori HaParchi. He wrote a sefer called Kafta Referach, which is a book on the geography of the lands of Israel. He himself was born in the area of Provence in 1280, and he was likely a Talmud of Rabbeinu Asher, who we know as the Rush. His family was expelled from France, and he eventually made his way to Eretz Yisrael, first lived briefly in Yerushalayim, then he moved to Beit Sha'an. And he travels extensively around Eretz Yisrael, writing detailed descriptions of the geography of Eretz Yisrael. And he writes in this book regarding Shiloh. Shiloh is about 3 hours due south of Shechem, a bit to the east. It is along a road as you ascend to Yerushalayim, then Shiloh will be on your left at the end of the first third of the journey. And they call it Seilun. This was the Arabic name. We actually often have that the Arabs, when naming their villages, retained the biblical names. Today, you would reach Shiloh by driving north on Route 60 from Yerushalayim. So Route 60 is the road that we call Derech Avot. It's the biblical road that the Avos and Imaos and later times the Jews walking through the land would have taken. This road stretches in the north from Shechem, and it's a bumpy, bumpy route going over the mountain ridge through the center of the land. We pass Shiloh, then drive further south, past Beis El, Yerushalayim, and then south of Yerushalayim, we pass Beis Lechem, Gush Etzion area, Chevron, and finally the route finishes by Be'er Sheva. There were some amazing finds at Tel Shiloh over the different archaeological digs, including 25 huge storage jugs. They're known as kolorim jugs because of the way they sort of bulge out of the neck. They were discovered on the western side of the tell, and apparently they contained traces of wine and oil, which would have been needed for the karbanos in the Mishkan area. It's quite amazing. The Mishkan was destroyed, although it's not written in the text of the Navi, but we have this where it's hinted at in Sefer Yirmiyahu, in Perek Zion Pasuk Yud Beis. We're told, Ki lachu na al makomi, go to my place, asher b'shilo in Shiloh, asher shichanti shmisham barishona, where I had first established my name there. Ru'u es asher asisi lo, go and look what I did to it over there, mipnei ra'as b'nei Yisrael, because of the evil doing, the wickedness of my people, b'nei Yisrael. And the Metzudas says over there, sherechavti oso mipnei ra'as Yisrael, that I destroyed it because of the wickedness of b'nei Yisrael. When was that? B'mei Eli HaKohen. It was in the days of Eli HaKohen. And this would have been at the war where we know that the Aron was taken by the Plishtim. Okay, we now hear in Pasuk Beis, that there are seven tribes that haven't yet been given their portion in the land. There remains amongst Bnei Yisrael seven tribes which have not yet received their inheritance. And this would be We know that Reuven got and half of Manasseh have already gotten their inheritance on the eastern side of the Yarden, the Eva Har Yarden. Levi's not going to get a portion. And in the last three prakim, we already heard about how Yehuda, Ephraim, and Manasseh had gotten their portion. So if you do the math, this comes up to seven tribes that still don't have a portion. And Yoshua gets very annoyed with them. Vayome Yoshua b'nei Yisrael, ad ana atem misrapim. For how long are you going to be? And Rashi says misrapim is misrashlim. Are you going to be weak? Lavo l'reshes es ha'aretz, to go and conquer the land asher nasa nachem Hashem elokei avoseichem. The land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to your fathers. So what was holding them back? Why hadn't they gone and tried to conquer the rest of the country? Or to take their territories. Malbim says, and Masudas is going to say very similar, Lefisha lo ratu lechalik at hine atena, miyir isam, they were very afraid, sha'az lo ya'azar kalachad lechavir leharish chalko. They were very nervous that if they would each go and take their nachala, they on their own would have to get rid of all the enemies, and they preferred v'ratzusha kulam yichpashu biyachad. They preferred that they would all go out as a group and conquer the rest of the country together v'achar kach yichlaku, and then they wanted to portion out and give out the different portions of land. So pasuk dalet. Yoshua continues and says, Hovu lachem shlosha anashim lashevet. Go and take three men from each of the tribes. So this would be 21 men in total. Va'esh lachem va'yakumu v'yishalchu ba'aret va'yichtivu osa lefi nachalasam va'yavoe enai. You're going to get up, walk through the land, describe it, and according to the inheritances, they shall come to me. What was meant to be happening over here? They were meant to walk through the land, and they were meant to come back with information about the rest of the country. Where were the mountain regions? Where was their water? Where were their valleys? And they were meant to come back with all of this information. And then Pasuk Vav, Atem tichtavu et ha'aret shiva chalakim. You're going to describe the land, how you would imagine it could be cut up into seven different parts. V'haviyosem Eli, you're going to bring this description back to me. V'yarisi lachem goral po lifnei Hashem Elokeinu. And then I'll cast the lots here for you before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now Rashi says these were not going to be portions of equal size. That was not what was going to happen. Because, to some tribes, they would need a larger part of land, piece of land because they were larger, and some tribes would need a smaller piece of land because they were smaller. So they weren't going to have, they weren't meant to come back and tell them exactly where the boundaries were going to be, and they weren't meant to tell them exactly, the sizes, but it was sort of a scouting trip. The Gemara in Baba Basra says that the land also wasn't based on amount, but was going to be based on value. So you may have one tribe, I'll give an example with numbers, ending up with a quarter of an acre, but the value of this was more than a full acre in another part of the country. As the Gemara tells us, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Sa'ah b'Yehuda, Shaveh Chamesh Se'in b'Galil. So a sa of grain in Yehuda is so valuable that it's equal to the value of five sa'ah of grain in the Galil area. So we're not just talking about the division of land in terms of size, but we're also talking about the division of land will be an according to the value of the land. In Pasuk Ches, v'yakumu ha'anashim v'yelchu v'yitzav Yehoshua, the people get up and they do according to what Yehoshua told them, and they're going to go on their way. And in Pasuk Yud, v'yishalich lahem Yehoshua goral b'shiloh, and they come back and Yehoshua now casts the lots in Shiloh lifnei Hashem, before Hashem, v'yichalik sham Yehoshua es ha'aretz, and now Yehoshua divides up the land of Bnei Yisrael to the rest of Bnei Yisrael b'machlekosam, according to their divisions. The rest of the parak is going to describe the portion that the tribe of Binyamin is going to get. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vaya'al Goral Mata B'nei Binyamin L'mishpachosam. Here we're going to now hear about the lot that the tribe of Binyamin got for their family. Binyamin's portion is going to lie between Yosef and Yehuda, two kings. He's almost going to be like a buffer between them. And we know that Binyamin had a very special relationship with both of those tribes. Yosef was Binyamin's big brother. The Medrash says when Yosef was sold, Binyamin named each of his 10 sons in connection for his yearning for his lost brother. And when the reconciliation takes place in Mitzrayim, it's going to be Binyamin and Yosef who hug and cry on each other's necks. Yehuda also has a special relationship with Binyamin. It's going to be Yehuda who offers himself as a guarantor for Binyamin when they take him down to Mitzrayim. Later on in Jewish history, after the splitting of the kingdom, Binyamin is going to be forced to sort of choose, and he's going to eventually side and join forces with Yehuda. And the southern region, Malchus Yehuda, is going to consist of Yehuda and Binyamin. So the actual description of the borders of Binyamin are quite hard to understand, and you really need the text of the Navi open and a map open in front of you. And on one hand, it really should be quite obvious because we know Binyamin is sandwiched between Ephraim in the north and Yehuda in the south, and the borders really should be the same. But we do see a lot of discrepancies in this parak and in the prakim that describe the borders of Ephraim and Yehuda. And if you think you're confused when you read the pesukim, the Gemara in Tzvachim tells us that when David and Shmuel sat in Nayot or Ramah trying to determine the exact spot where the Beis HaMikdash took, Iso Sefer Yoshua Bechulhu Kesiv, they're going to take out Sefer Yoshua and they're going to open it up to these prakim, and they're going to read these pesukim trying to determine the exact location of the tribe of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, why is it so complicated? First of all, what an amazing thought to think as we're learning through these pesukim, these prakim, these are the very same, you know, prakim and pesukim that David and Shmuel learned together. But what was so complex about the borders? Why was it so difficult to sort of determine exactly where the Beis HaMikdash is? We know it's meant to be in the Nachala of Yehuda. So the Gemara in Zvachin Nun Gimel tells us, Amar Rabbi Levi Bar Chama, Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Rabbi Chanina, Ritzua haisa yotza'a mechelko shel Yehuda v'nichneset b'chelko shel Binyamin. There was this little strip of land sort of protruded from the Nachala of Yehuda and entered into the Nachala of Binyamin, because the Beis HaMikdash was going to be in that sort of little space. V'haya Binyamin had tzadik mitzta'er aleha b'chol yom l'notla. And Binyamin was so agonizingly sad. Binyamin the righteous would agonize over this all day, and he would say, you know, I want the Shekhinah to dwell in my portion. I want the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Beis HaMikdash. I want it to be, you know, in my Nachala. And lefichach zacha Binyamin HaTzadik, and therefore Binyamin HaTzadik merited v'na'asa ushpezichan leHaKadosh Baruch Hu. He sort of ended up hosting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shena'amar uvein ketefav shachin. Between his shoulders he dwelt, which was part of the bracha that Binyamin received from Moshe Rabbeinu, that because of Binyamin's yearning that he should have some part of the Beis HaMikdash in his territory, he ended up meriting this. And that's why when you look at the borders, it becomes like very complicated. You have a bit of land going in and out, and it sort of juts out of Yehuda and into Binyamin. But that's the source of the confusion. From Pasuk Yud base onwards, we're going to start hearing about the actual descriptions of the boundaries of the tribe. And it's sort of, you know, it's described that it starts in the valley near Yericho. It goes up to the mountain ridge in Beis El area, descends to the area of Atarot Adar, which was opposite lower Beis Haran. And from there, the border turns southwards towards Kiryas Yearim. And from that point on, the boundary sort of hugs the northern boundary of Yehuda, which, you know, going from east of Kiryas Yearim onwards. The end, I must say, nowadays, when you drive in Eretz Yisrael, in the area which, you know, of the Nachala, the area of the Nachala of Binyamin, it's very well marked. In the area of the Shomron, or if you drive Route 1 east towards the Dead Sea, you see lots of these huge signs that say Binyamin with a picture of a wolf. And I love it, but I'm not sure why it's only the Nachala of Binyamin that seems to be very, very well signposted. Okay, from Pasuk Tesvav, I'm sorry, from Pasuk, the Pasuk Kaf tells us, Zos Nachalas B'nei Binyamin L'Gvuloseha Saviv L'Mishpachosam. This is the Nachala of the tribe of Binyamin. We have the full borders, and this was the tribe, this was the portion that Binyamin received. From Pasuk Kaf Aleph until the end of the Perek, we're going to get the listing of the different cities that are in Binyamin's territory. From Kaf Aleph until Kaf Dalet, we're going to hear about the eastern part of the portion, which was from the watershed line until the Yardin, and there we have 12 different cities listed. And then the second part of the Nachala of Binyamin is described in Pasuk Kafhe until the end of the Perek, and there we hear about 14 different cities. And the Perek ends, Zos Nachalas Bnei Binyamin L'Mishpachosam. This is the inheritance of the tribe of Binyamin according to their families. Thank you for learning this Perek together with me. Sefer Yoshua is dedicated by Nina and Chaim Schenker, memory of our dear grandmothers, Miriam Schenker, Richard Freeman, Teresa Schreiber, and Bella Oppenheimer. Helena Shalan Chayil, who lived with the utmost commitment to Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, despite the physical and spiritual challenges they faced living in the United States, Israel, and Europe, may their example continue to inspire our families and the family of Klal Yisrael. Have a wonderful rest of your day.